Welcome to the Words of Grace podcast, where we seek to clarify, amplify, and apply the Sunday morning sermon at Grace Community Church. From time to time, we'll address other topics. We hope these podcasts help you press the Word of God into your everyday life.
Good afternoon. Today is November the 29th.
Yes.
And I had to think about that after all the turkey and fun stuff we probably all ate last week.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about last week what our favorite dish was.
Oh, did we?
I think so.
I don't remember.
I don't know if we did, but did you have
what you wanted? I had it all. Yes, it was good.
Yeah.
I had a wonderful Thanksgiving meal and grateful to be with some family members.
Yeah.
It was good.
And great to be at church yesterday with the body. And,
yes.
And it's good to sing together and hear the word preached, and it's always good. Sunday morning, I was telling someone, is one of the things I love to get up in the morning for. Mm-hmm. It's just, I'm excited to get here because John has been encouraging and just challenging as well. So.
Yeah, well, I feel the same way. I am very grateful to be able to worship with our congregation.
Yeah.
I'm very grateful that we are in, as you said, the Gospel of John.
Yeah.
We are focusing on Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, the Son of God, in whom we believe to have eternal life.
Yeah.
And singing beautiful songs to the Lord, praying prayers, prayed out of Psalm 46 on Sunday.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful psalm that I think really would be helpful to people at this time with a lot of turmoil in the world. That's a psalm of turmoil and trust.
Yeah,
Psalm 46, that's where the prayer came from on Sunday. And seeing people, I think people are longing to be together and to fellowship and to focus on things eternal and to focus on the gospel, to focus on Christ. It's a beautiful day.
Yeah,
I love
good.
It. I'm grateful. I'm very grateful for our congregation and that we can gather.
Yeah. So let's talk about yesterday.
Yeah.
You were in John chapter 6, and so you kind of have moved a little further on, which you did say, I committed to three, and why did I do that?
Yeah.
And now I need to extend that.
Yeah.
So talk about where you were on Sunday.
Well, again, I would encourage everybody to read John 6 while we're in it at Grace. And you know, all of these chapters, these portions of Scripture that are larger, they contain very strong messages, and there's a lot in them that we're to see about Jesus and then understand what the life of faith is and apply to our lives. And John 6 is no exception. It is a chapter that contains a unit of its own about Jesus being the bread of life. And I just love the way this portion of John is written, in that it begins with a miracle of feeding a multitude of people, well over 5,000 people, with just a very small amount of food, five loaves of bread. Even if it was a big loaf, it wouldn't be enough, but it was really more like a roll, you know, a dinner roll, five rolls, bread rolls, barley rolls, and then two fish. And Jesus multiplied that. And that was a miracle. It was also a miracle with significance. So it was a sign, and it was pointing to what Jesus was about to say in the next part of the chapter, which is he's the bread of life.
Yeah.
Then you go to the next part of the chapter, and you've got Jesus interacting with the people. This is where we were Sunday. Jesus was interacting with the crowds who ate that bread, were a part of that miracle. And then the next day, they want to talk about it. Jesus wants to talk about it, and they don't understand what he's talking about, and they're there because they want more bread.
Yeah.
And they, in other words, they think Jesus is going to be a different kind of savior king for them that's situated in the this world problems and not what he came to do, which is to give eternal life. And then, so that's what happened on Sunday. He has to correct them, and then the big reveal, I am the bread of life.
Yeah.
And the next 2 weeks, we'll unpack that statement, I am the bread of life, and then our response to it. So that's where we are in John 6, and I would really encourage people to keep reading this chapter over the next few weeks.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, again, in last week's podcast, we talked a little bit about, you know, chapter 5, he was really addressing the religious leaders. Now it's the crowd.
Yeah.
And they're maybe both looking at Jesus in different ways as a problem. And so what I want to do now is just ask a question to clarify something, and then maybe another question just to kind of apply some things that you said on Sunday.
Okay.
So you were talking towards the end of your sermon, and you mentioned about our hunger and thirst for Jesus. And you said hunger and thirst basically don't equal our desires, or they're not our desires.
Yeah.
So the reason why I asked that is because I heard you say that, and then immediately I thought of the verse in the Bible that talks about, you know, he will give you the desires of your heart.
Okay.
So help us kind of reconcile what you said on Sunday and what you were meaning by that statement, clarify that, and then how does it go with that verse in the Bible?
Okay. Well, let me pull out the verse in John
where
you're referencing. So after this conversation Jesus has with the crowds, and there he's trying to correct their priorities. They're focused on material things and this world things. And Jesus is saying, I came to give eternal life. And then he says, I am, verse 35 of John 6, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. Whoever believes in me shall never thirst.
Okay.
So that's where I got that.
Right. And
what I was trying to say is, don't misunderstand that.
Yeah.
To come to Jesus doesn't mean hunger and thirst are not your desires. Doesn't mean you will never have an unfulfilled desire.
Right.
It means you will never be in need of true life.
Right.
Eternal life, which is a quality of life, the life of God in you, as well as a quantity of life, life forever. You will never hunger or thirst in the sense that you will never be in need of true life. All right. Mm-hmm. So that's what Jesus means. So what he doesn't mean is, if you come to Jesus, you'll never have an unfulfilled desire.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everything you want, you'll get.
Right, right.
That's what I was referring to. And now your question is what?
Like, how do you reconcile that with, you know, when the Bible says, you know, if you seek the Lord, you love the Lord, he'll give you the desires of your heart.
Okay.
In Psalms. So like, how do we,
well,
what's that talking about in light of what you said?
All right. Well, we can talk about desires. Okay. Yeah. So human beings are sinful creatures.
Yeah.
The desires of our hearts are sinful.
Mm-hmm.
Self-oriented, mm-hmm. self-centered. Without the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, without the deep work of the Word of God in our lives, mm-hmm. we can't trust our desires.
Right.
And so, you know, Jesus is not here to be a, you know, person that gives us everything we desire when our desires are sinful. Why would he do that?
Yeah.
Jesus is here to give us life, true life. Our desires are even contrary to life.
Yeah.
Our desires lead to death because they're self-centered.
Mm-hmm.
They come from the place of sinfulness in the human heart. So to say that if we delight ourselves in the Lord, he'll give us the desires of our heart can't mean if we delight ourselves in the Lord will give us everything we want, because sometimes what we want is contrary to what is good.
Yeah.
What's true? What's right? What's real? So here's another way to look at it. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will put the desires that he desires for you in your heart.
Right. So it's almost like you're realigning. Like,
he will give you.
As you delight in the Lord, our desires get realigned with what he really desires for our life.
That's right. He puts new desires in our heart.
Yeah.
He gives us the desires that are in our heart.
Which is, I thought I wanted that, but now that I'm in the Lord.
I'm delighting myself in the Lord. I'm seeking first the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
I'm a person of faith in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
My whole life is transformed. I'm reoriented toward true reality. And so now I'm finding that I have desires in my heart that are for God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is a supernatural work. It's the work of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And now, not only is the Lord granting me my desires, he's the one that put that very desire in my heart in the first place.
Yeah.
By the work of the new birth and the power of his word.
Yeah.
So that's the way I would reconcile.
Yeah. And it's kind of like, Scott, I feel like I'm hearing you say is, you know, as we come to know Jesus, and as we grow, which we call sanctification, as we grow in being more like Jesus, our desires are getting more and more and more aligned with the kingdom of God and what Jesus was here to do.
Exactly. So Romans 8
says
that God's desire is to conform us to the image of his son.
Mm-hmm.
That means in every way, in our minds, the way we think about truth, and certainly in our actions, the way we love people, but also in our very desires.
Yeah.
What did Jesus say? We're going to read on here in John 6. Jesus said in verse 38, it says, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but the will of him who sent me." What does Jesus want? More than anything else, mm-hmm. Jesus Christ on earth wanted to do the will of God the Father. Mm-hmm. That's a desire.
Yeah.
I don't have that desire mm-hmm. apart from the work of the Holy Spirit in me.
Yeah.
And as the work of the Word and the Spirit in my life grow me and sanctify me, then I want more and more to do the will of God. That becomes my desire. Mm-hmm. God will grant that desire. Mm-hmm. That one He'll grant.
Yeah.
He won't grant me every desire that's a selfish whim or a self-oriented goal. There's no guarantee God's going to. I hope He doesn't grant that.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want Him to grant the things that'll kill me mm-hmm. that I might desire. I want Him to grant the things that are pertaining to His will.
Yeah.
That is to conform me to the image of Christ.
Yeah. Well, good. So that's helpful. That's a good clarification. Mm-hmm. Now, here's another thought. You mm-hmm. were talking on Sunday a lot about basically us trying to basically put our agendas onto Jesus.
Okay.
Like what we want, whether it's how to fix this world now, we kind of fail to see our spiritual condition. Mm-hmm. And then, so if it's kind of this way, like here's our agenda, what we want. If that agenda doesn't get met in Jesus, then we either bolt mm-hmm. and leave Jesus, or we mm-hmm. try to bend Jesus to meet or to match that agenda.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So at first glance, if you're listening on a Sunday, you could, which is the worst thing to do on a Sunday, right, is to think, oh, I hope so-and-so is listening to this because they really need to listen to this. But maybe it's also, oh, wow, I'm tempted to do that.
Yeah.
How would you encourage people of grace to fight against that temptation? Because I would think if we're real honest with ourselves, we all fall into this at some point.
Yeah.
So how do we fight against that?
Let me restate what you're saying, and then the question is, how do you fight against it? I think what I'm hearing you say is, I said something to the effect on Sunday that Jesus is not going to be co-opted mm-hmm. For anybody's this world agenda.
Yeah.
All right. And that agenda could be, as we see very often in the world because of human nature, you know. Jesus, we're going to co-opt Jesus and use Jesus and declare His name and, you know, act like He's supposed to give us everything we want.
Right.
Make us personally successful, you know, give us power somehow in the world. You know, and so Jesus is not going to do that. Jesus says, you know, my kingdom is not of this world. Mm-hmm. Jesus withdrew in the mountain, wouldn't let them make Him king because they had a different agenda. That's the way we set it up from John 6. Your question is, how do we keep from doing that?
How do we fight against that temptation?
I think the best way I can think of is read the radical words of Jesus. Mm. Read them.
Yeah.
Like most people who claim to read the words of Jesus and come away with Jesus as being this, you know, person that grants you everything you want and, you know, person you can use. They've never really read the words of Jesus. Mm-hmm. Read the radical words of Jesus. Mm-hmm. He said it right here. He looked at these people. He said, you came after me because you got your stomachs full. He said, don't work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. Mm-hmm. That's radical.
Yeah.
You know, he said, don't lay up treasures on earth, where moth and rust will destroy. Mm-hmm. Lay up your treasure in heaven.
Yeah.
That's radical. Right. That is strong language.
Yeah.
Jesus said, if you want to come after me, you have to deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me. That means die. No, crosses around necks miscommunicate. Gold crosses are fine. We can wear them as jewelry if we understand what we're talking about. I'm not, don't go away saying, oh, Scott said that's bad. That's not what I said. I'm just saying if we understood the nature of the cross, we'd understand that it's crucifixion.
Yeah.
That's radical.
Yeah.
So the way you keep from turning Jesus into your personal, you know, agenda meter is mm-hmm. to read His radical words and mm-hmm. take Jesus on His own terms.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, this is what He calls us to do. You know, come and die.
Yeah.
You know, don't put your hand to the plow and don't look back.
Right.
Let the dead bury the dead. You come follow me.
Yeah.
I mean, these are, you know, we're going to get to it in John 6.
Yeah.
Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part of me.
Wow. Yeah.
It is radical.
So what I'm hearing too, Scott, is as we listen to His words, I feel like two things happen. One, we are maybe getting corrected.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And hopefully, which we just talked about, that our agendas we may think are primary or central, we're getting confronted, well, maybe that's not what we need to be after. And it's being realigned to what Jesus was calling us to be about.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, that's right. Jesus is so much bigger, mm-hmm. so much more real than all, and I use the word all on purpose, mm-hmm. all of our agendas and concerns in this life. Mm-hmm. So much so that he is actually willing to look at us and tell us, even though he knows we have to eat, mm-hmm. he knows we have to have food and clothes. He knows this.
Yeah.
And still, his kingdom agenda is so much bigger than ours. He has the nerve to look at us and say, don't even worry about what you're going to eat and drink tomorrow.
Yeah.
You seek first the kingdom of God. God yeah. will take care of you.
Yeah.
Man, that is just, I mean, he is realigning us
yeah.
to what matters. Mm-hmm. And if we think that that is somehow going to be a message, you know, that finally wins the world, no. The world is not going to like that message.
Yeah.
Jesus himself said in John 6, you can't come to him unless the Father draws you. And why did he say that? He said that because his words are so radical that nobody in their own human sense of things, their own nature, their own mm-hmm. intellect, their own volitional power, nobody's going to turn to Jesus with radical words like that. Nobody is.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if we think, oh, okay, we'll finally get them, we'll finally start talking about Jesus and everybody, the whole world will come to Jesus. No, they won't. I mean, mm-hmm. those that the Father draws will,
mm-hmm.
yeah. because nobody can come to him. His words are so radical.
Yeah.
His person, his salvation mm-hmm. is so other than anything we would ever come up with if we were setting the agenda.
Yeah.
That we won't turn to him unless the Father draws us.
Yeah.
And so that's, you know, how do we keep from trying to domesticate Jesus into our, you know, get him on our page and on our agenda? You just go to his radical words.
Yeah.
And you go to who he is as the eternal Son of God.
Yeah.
And you let him speak and you humble yourself and you put your hand over your mouth and you receive his words.
Mm-hmm.
And then it aligns us.
Yeah.
And I need this every day because as you say, you know, I'm not like you know, I feel like for a podcast, I've gone to preaching here. We usually don't go quite this hard on a podcast, but I'm not at all saying somehow I get it.
Yeah, yeah, right.
I mean, I read John 6 and I go, I understand Jesus. There's no way I would have come to Jesus Christ without the Father drawing me,
yeah,
awakening me,
mm-hmm.
and then drawing me to himself because I am a rebel. I'm a sinner. I'm dull spiritually. I would never have chosen Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because he's too other.
Yeah.
But by the grace of God, he saves us.
Yeah.
And we proclaim him because he will save others.
Yep. Yeah. Well, that's a great word to end on, is that we would spend more time this week with the words of Jesus than anything else.
Yeah.
And let him go to work
yeah.
on our heart. So thanks. Well, we'll look forward to another week in John chapter 6.
All right, man. Thank you.
Thanks.